Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. A cheeseburger is awesome, but it's even better with bacon. This is The Jeff Blair Show, topped with a sizzling slice of Stephen Brunt. Fill your face. On Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to The Jeff Blair Show. Ray Ratto, senior insider for CSN Bay Area.
I love senior insider. That's a great title.
That is.
That's the only one I've ever heard of. The only senior insider I've ever heard of.
Yeah, that's kind of odd. It makes him seem old. Anyhow, he's going to join Stephen Brunt and myself from Winnipeg.
You can't really be a junior insider, can you?
Because you wouldn't
really be an insider.
No, and if you were a junior insider, I wouldn't think you'd want to advertise yourself as a junior insider, because the instant reaction would be, what, you're giving me your junior guy? Where's your senior guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyhow, Ray is in Winnipeg for the Grey Cup, and he's going to join us. And we got a sense of what Ray thinks of the CFL in Winnipeg.
Yes. I'm guessing he finds it charming.
Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he's found ample things to do. He's probably gone along to the Spirit of Edmonton suite with Terry Jones or something like that.
You should go to Ray and Jerry's. You know, that steakhouse, the old steakhouse?
I
highly recommend Ray and Jerry's.
My first dinner with my father-in-law. And my future father-in-law was at Ray and Jerry's.
Everything's red.
Yes.
It's one of those restaurants. And they give you a free pen, though.
Yes. It's an old man's steakhouse. It's an old family steakhouse. It's where retired justices go to have lunch with other retired justices.
Yeah, it's a bit of a throwback. John Sampson took me there, and then he ordered a grilled cheese. He doesn't need meat. Or he didn't need that meat anyway. So, yeah, I had a steak and he had a grilled cheese.
I ended up having a lunch with the Honorable Sterling Lyon, former Premier of Manitoba, a family connection. And this is when I was at the Winnipeg Free Press, and I wanted to get out of newspapers and wanted to go to law. And he looked at me as we were having lunch and said, "The world does not need another lawyer."
Oh. And think of how history could have been different.
Think of how it could have been different.
There'd be dead air between 9 and 12 every day.
Well, there is dead air between 9 and 12 every day for the most part.
I'll let you say that.
Well, I can say that. I can be self-deprecating. Anyhow, that's Ray and Jerry's.
Yes.
And
You're in Winnipeg.
Ray and Jerry's.
And you feel like visiting 1957, that's where you should go.
Yeah, it's...
You know, it's unapologetically that.
That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And the waiters will be wearing... It'll be proper. It's a proper deal. It's a proper dinner. Linen, napkin, absolutely. I mean, the whole thing. Every now and then, it's good to go there. There's other things to do in Winnipeg as well, but I'm not going to give them away, because then you're all going to want to go there. And those of us from Winnipeg have kind of this pact that we don't...
You wouldn't want it overrun in November.
We certainly don't, because we want to depress the housing prices so that when we all retire, we can go back there and buy five times the size of the house for a fifth of money. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a little unsaid thing. Anyhow, looking forward to the Grey Cup?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm actually going to be in an airplane when it happens this year. It's a weird thing. I realized this year, this may be the first time in my life.
I was going to say, because you do watch it all. You've covered a bazillion of them, and you do watch it all the time. This might be the first time.
Yeah, and it's weird because, I hadn't even thought of it that way, but I was... I'm going off with some pals on Sunday, and I said, well, I've been doing the Vanier Cup the last few years because we have the Vanier Cup, and I haven't done a Grey Cup. I haven't covered a Grey Cup since the last one that was in Toronto, but I've, covered a million of them over the years, and just, like, all of them, going back to the first one, it was 1985 in Montreal, which was the one when Davey Hilton shot up the bar.
Yeah.
That's how I remember it. But, Hamilton, B.C., Roy DeWalt. Hamilton got just thumped. Roy DeWalt and Ned Armour. And I took a train with the Hamilton fans. It was the worst train ride ever coming back. It felt like a 12-hour train ride, because it was drunk people coming, drunk people going in are fine. Drunk people coming back are less fine.
Yeah.
And, it just, anyway. So, I haven't missed many since then. But, I'd later said, I got to do the Vanier, which I, as it turned out, for a bunch of complications, I'm not going to be at Vanier this year. But I said, okay, we can go the day after Vanier. And then it occurred to me that of course, they're lined up again. You know, they Vanier and Grey Cup have not always been aligned.
By the way, it is the ArcelorMittal Vanier Cup presented by Pro Mutual Insurance.
Don't call it the Fasco. That's what ArcelorMittal is.
Yes.
But
don't say that. It's ArcelorMittal Vanier Cup presented by Pro Mutual Assurance.
Holy smokes.
What stadium is it being played at? Is there
it's the Peps stadium, right?
So it's the ArcelorMittal Vanier Cup presented by Pro Mutual Assurance at Peps Stadium.
Yeah.
Or Stade Peps.
Sort of Stade Peps.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Jesus.
So it's weird. It'll be a bit odd, but if the Tiger Cats had been in, I might have, this would have been very difficult for me, but it's less difficult. The rematch of the J.C. Watts game, you know, Ottawa, Edmonton, what was that, 1982?
Yes, it was.
Or 80, yeah.
J.C. Watts to, Stade Telus.
Oh, sorry, Peps is in, University of Montreal then, I think.
Okay,
so anyhow, that's you. Sorry about that. University of Montreal.
You got your Canadian.
You
get your Canadian call? I'm going to tell. Tell Madani about that. Brent got his Canadian college stadiums mixed up. So it's the ArcelorMittal Vanier Cup presented by Pro Mutual Assurance at Stade Telus.
There we go. Which is kind of a cool place, you know. That's where Laval plays, the Rouge et Or, and half the crowd stands around the field. Like they have people sit and have seats, but then they let people stand around the field. So it looks like a Grey Cup at Varsity Stadium.
Fans are right up against the field.
Where they can trip the players.
Or steal the football.
Bill's ball.
Yeah.
You know, you can trip a player and steal the football. But it is a nifty place for a game. And this is the rematch. Again, I think it's 81. Is it 81 or 82? It's 81, I think. Because 82 was the one here, was the Ice Bowl game, which led to the Sky Dome because Paul Godfrey got cold. And that's how we ended up with the Dome Stadium in Toronto. Paul Godfrey and Bill Davis got cold. So I think it was 81, I think, was that game.
Let me see. Grey Cup 81. Warren Moon and the Edmonton Eskimos won their fourth straight title in 1981.
The Ottawa Rough Riders?
They beat the Roughies 26-23.
Ottawa got in because they beat a great Hamilton team coached by Frank Cush.
Was that a two-game total point?
No, it wasn't. But it was a little swing pass because it reminded me of it watching the events of last weekend and that Hail Mary that won it for the Red Blacks. There was a little pass out in the flat to a guy named Pat Stokwa, and everybody fell down. It was like it was like one of these bizarre. Hamilton was really good that year under Cush. Tom Clements was the quarterback. And Pat Stokoe ran, I believe, 104 yards for the deciding touchdown in that game at Iverwind Stadium.
Yeah, this was
awful.
And that was the year that Ottawa was like had four wins or five
they
wins.
They
backed
yeah.
in. And then they ended up actually.
Up at the half, what, 21?
They were 21, yeah. And then, it just fell apart. That may be the game. No, that wasn't the game where the Eskimos put staples in there. It was the Alouettes that put staples.
Yeah,
in
that was
the
no. That was this is the one where there was a terrible pass interference penalty.
Yeah,
offensive pass interference on Tony Gabriel, I believe, was the one where everybody went crazy.
Yes,
but Ottawa shouldn't have been there, and it was one of those ones. I'm sure the Edmonton guys just went and got drunk on the Saturday night because they thought, you know, we're going to beat these guys by 50. You know, Warren Moon, one of those Warren Moon teams versus that Ottawa team was as going in as big a mismatch as there's ever been in Grey Cup history.
Was Wonderful Mons in that team?
I do not know if Wonderful. Okay. I don't think so. Anyway.
There you go.
So there you go. So it is a rematch of the 1981 Grey Cup, which turned into a great game. I don't know that this one's going to be a great game. I think Edmonton's going to clobber them too. But anyway, I'll be on a plane.
Well, there you go.
Heading to a place where there's probably very little CFL coverage. That's my guess.
I would think that.
You never know.
I would think that's pretty safe. This will be fun. Travis is trying to get Ratto. See, I don't think Ratto's done the time conversion. I do think he is under the impression. I'll be surprised if we get him because it's 9:09 in Winnipeg. The old Ray Ratto would just be getting in now.
Well, this is Commissioner's press conference day too, correct?
He got to sit down with the commissioner. So
he doesn't really need to go to that
press conference.
So when would that – so the commissioner's – well, we're showing it live. I should know that. It's on 360.
It's on 360
right now.
We're
giving blanket coverage to this league this week, which is quite something.
It is.
You know, it just shows how fair-minded this company is.
That's what I've been telling people all along, yet nobody listens to me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody listens to me. They don't believe that we're fair-minded. anyhow.
It's not on yet, so it's clearly not happening. Well, that's something else. Yeah. Anyway, Rattle could be any number of places.
No, Travis has got him. You can always tell when Travis rubs the back of his head when he's on the phone.
Is
with
that a good sign?
That's a good sign.
That means he's not talking to the front desk at the hotel?
Now, unfortunately, he's going to talk to Rattle for about 20 minutes. He's going to thank him for coming on, ask him how his day's going, what his plans are, was breakfast good, how's the family.
Okay, then it's time for break.
Here it is. Ray Rattle joining us from Winnipeg. How you doing, Rattle?
None of your business.
Okay. How's Winnipeg treating you? None of your business.
I like towns that don't try to be what they're not. And Winnipeg has been perfectly fine. The people have been a delight. They're helpful at all costs. Because, I mean, I don't know Winnipeg from anything. I've never been here before. And they've been swell. So I think they could probably, you know, pay back some of the money they owe the heat. But... You know, that 20 and windy at night is not as much fun as I thought it would be.
Has anyone told you about the ballet or the zoo? Because when they get boastful, that's the two things they tend to talk about in Winnipeg.
No. They've told me that there's beer.
Well, that there is.
Well, then they haven't lied to me. And really, telling me about the ballet or the zoo is pretty much like telling me, you know, about the ovulation cycle of the Bulgarian otter.
Yeah, well, it would be. That's true. But, you know, I'm just telling you, that's what Winnipeggers do. Now, Blair is sort of a Winnipegger. He's actually from the suburban Winnipeg. But
I'm from more, 80 miles outside of Winnipeg.
Well, that in Winnipeg, that counts, right? Yeah, that's an easy...
Right in the North Dakota border.
It's an easy commute. But those are two of the things. Now, what is your reaction to our quaint little football festival here?
It is the perfect counterpoint to the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl is basically a massive, rigid, bloated trade show with a football game tacked on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
While, as near as I can tell, the Grey Cup is a series of mobile taverns running without liquor licenses with a football game tacked onto the end of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
So what have you...
And I seriously... find the second far more appealing.
So you've visited several of these mobile taverns.
I've been sort of stunned at the informality, because you just sort of you figure that it's there, but it doesn't hit you till you're out eating with some friends and you see five or six of the Red Blacks sitting like two tables away. Now in the NFL, one, you know, they're not going to any restaurants we're going to, and two, if any of them saw a reporter, they would flee. The other thing that I found interesting is that they sat down, they had their meal, and nobody came by to ask them for autographs or, you know, pictures with their telephones. I mean, none of that stuff. They let them eat and, like, just be regular people. And that definitely wouldn't happen in the U.S. I mean, they, you know, what do you think of my fantasy team? You know, and these guys, they would end the night, like, with the forks that they took trying to eat. Jammed into their foreheads just to make the pain go away. So it just seems like everybody sort of stays in their lane, and so everybody feels like comfortable. And you never feel that at a Super Bowl.
I don't, you know, if they ever had a Super Bowl in Green Bay, which is inconceivable, but if you've gone to football games in Green Bay, that's not that far off. I don't think, really, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
because the NFL takes your town. And they would take Green Bay. And whatever Green Bay's attempts to hold on to its individuality were, would be swallowed up by we're going to need City Hall for the NFL experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all your outdoor parks, you know, we'd like you to shovel this snow off so that we can put our TV trucks there. It's simply become too massive a thing not to intrude on whatever your town is. San Francisco is cheerfully closing off city blocks and shutting down bus lines just because the NFL said, well, we really don't want, you know, we don't want a cable car going by. That won't do. You know, and it's they sort of come to your town. They say, this is what we're going to get from you. And then they put up the $95 sweatshirt sign. So, no, I don't think that Green Bay could withstand – you know, the entire Chinese Eighth Route Army sort of approach that they have. Whereas the CFL sort of comes in on little cat feet. You know, I mean, the Spirit of Edmonton thing is out at the airport this year because I guess they couldn't get a room downtown. But really, other than, you know, and that's sort of a concession. I mean, normally, you know, the NFL would say, we want this big thing that we do here. Now, what are you going to do about it? And the CFL, you know, or the Spirit of Edmonton people, they said, well, I guess we're out at the airport then. You know, there's a civility about it all that, well, at least that I see from the outside. I mean, you know, behind closed doors there may be people, you know, knifing each other to death, but I haven't seen any of the blood yet. But it just seems like, you know, we're trying to fit into your town, not making your town conform to our needs.
You were also quite taken by the annual coitus question.
It was tremendous because Rick Campbell took the question and ran with it. The question might be asked at a Super Bowl, but it would not be answered, except maybe with heat vision from Bill Belichick. Because I just, this is serious business. This is the Super Bowl there. We'll have no frivolity there, and we won't speak of that because I might get on TMZ later. You know, Campbell sort of, he clearly prepared. He had the right answer for it, and it was just, you know, it was one of those things where the coaches sort of accept the traditions that came before them rather than sort of being the natural control freaks that they are. And it was the question was almost irrelevant to the process, but the process was, okay, this is weird. I get that you guys are going to do this. So instead of swatting you down, I'm going to play along because that's what we do. That was the neat part.
Well, I got to say, credit where credit is due. That question was invented by the late Jim Shaky Hunt, who was a big part of the station and was a reporter for years and kind of everybody's favorite dirty old uncle. So that was...
there's a resume for you.
Yeah, that's exactly him, and I don't think anyone would argue with that. Yeah, so that's,
well, Brent actually just undersold him, if you want to know
the
truth.
There's some other parts to Shake's resume as well, but we miss him, but that his question lives on. Now, are you going to go, and I know what a fan you are of Roger Goodell's annual speech to the world. Are you going to go see the CFL commissioner speak this morning?
No, because weirdly enough, I got him last week. I called Paulo Senra, the CFL director of communications. I said, hey, could I get a half an hour with your commissioner? He was on the phone the next day. And it didn't really matter what he said or what I asked him. It's the fact that I could pick up the phone, ask for a half an hour of the guy's time, and I get it. Do that with Roger Goodell or even Adam Silver or Gary Bettman. You know, you're in a queue for forever. You know, it's just, oh yeah, what do you need? You know, and it took me aback because, you know, I mean, I spent time, you know, prepping questions. I thought, you know, well, let's see how this goes. And it ended up being sort of a fairly formal but, you know, amenable chat. I mean, he loves buzzwords because he's an American and that's what you have to do. You know, he loves words like branding. But I figured that was part of the deal. But it was the fact that I could get him within the same calendar year that I asked for him that was the remarkable thing.
Now, but Ray, do you feel in any way, because there's a history of a short history of American guys coming to cover the CFL, and the league gets very excited about that. You know, the point I was telling Blair the other day, a guy came up one year who looked like he slept in the bus shelter from him, and he identified himself from a made-up website, and they treated him like he was Anderson Cooper, right? You are a bit of a celebrity there, I would think. I would think you're like, you've got most favored nation status with the league because of your passport.
Well, we'll see where I sit on game day. If I'm outside, that might not be true.
All right.
Maybe that's it, and I'm certainly willing to accept that could be part of it. But they surely can't be so naive as to think I'm the first of a new wave of people who are going to come up and do this. I mean, this was a specific sort of set of circumstances for me and my boss at CSN Bay Area, Jeff James, because when we first talked about it, he looked at me like I was an idiot. I said, why would you, you know, why do we want to spend money to send you to something no one's going to watch? And I said, because we've got the Super Bowl here. And I can't think of anything more unlike that than the Grey Cup in Winnipeg. And then he looked back at me and he said, I know what this is. You don't want to do 49ers at Arizona, and you don't want to do Oakland at Tennessee. I get it. But, no, it just that was the juxtaposition, and I think they have to know that, you know, I'm not going to be at the next Grey Cup because there's no real reason for me to be there. And I don't have any kind of throw weight to imagine, hey, he did it last year. That must be a great idea. No, it was specific to my circumstances. And I think they recognize that. So, I mean, other than being interviewed on camera by two members of the Red Blacks, I've really been treated as though I'm just, you know, another one of the traveling schlubs, which I really kind of like.
Have you had a chance to talk to many of the players? And I mean, we know that, you know, these guys aren't making as much money as NFL players. I mean, a lot of them, frankly, a lot of them have jobs in the off season. I don't know if as many do as they used to have them. But have you had a chance to get to know any of the players? I mean, as much as a reporter gets to know a guy, and anybody kind of stuck out to you as being particularly memorable?
Not really, because I've come to discover over the years that a 20-minute conversation with a guy isn't the same as even remotely getting to know him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've talked to a few, and, you know, I mean, Henry Burris, I mean, you know, he could filibuster a parrot. You know, he's an interesting guy, but he's sort of not really what I'm after.
Yeah.
in this series, only because it's not really about the game as much as it is the experience, because the game is the Super Bowl's in Santa Clara, which is about 35 miles or 5 hours driving
mm-hmm.
from San Francisco, whereas most of the events and the stuff during the week that affects most people will be up in the city. So I was really more concentrating on the periphery of the game. I mean, I did, like I said, I talked to a few people here and there, listening on a few conversations, but that really wasn't sort of the focus of what I was trying to get at, which is the difference between CFL players and NFL players, because, you know, it was all of a sudden going to become a massively bloated narrative, and
right.
The shorter I write, the better the nation likes it.
Are you, can you compare for us the CFL gift bag, the Grey Cup gift bag, to the Super Bowl gift bag?
Yes, the Super Bowl doesn't do a gift bag.
They don't do.
No,
well, wait
stopped,
a minute.
They stopped doing it. Yeah.
Well, no, because who did we see? We saw Mike Francesa going through his gift bag on. Well, that was a couple of years ago. He did it on the TV.
Austerity.
Right.
It's all austerity.
Okay.
Now.
All right. All right.
The NFL is bleeding money crazy.
Yes,
that's
they
right.
May not make it to July.
So, what did you get in the CFL gift bag?
A CFL football.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
A goofy hat that makes you look like Droopy Dog, but does keep your head warm. And a much, much valued pair of gloves.
Uh-huh.
And then a schedule of the week. So the last two things I really needed, the third thing I may give to my son, and the fourth thing, I don't know, I may leave it in lieu of a tip to the people who have cleaned my room.
That's very generous of you. What are your Friday night before Grey Cup is always a jolly occasion. The town will be rocking to the degree that Winnipeg can rock. What are you? What are your plans? Hey, Blair and I were suggesting you go to Ray and Jerry's Steakhouse, where they will give you a free pen with your dinner. But other than that, what's on for this evening?
I'm not sure yet. I'm going to go over to the convention center and, you know, get an eye full of Ryderville. I want to go find the Atlantic Schooners people, hoping that there are still Baltimore Stallions people there, because nothing says the Grey Cup in my head than celebrating a team that can never exist again and one that's never been. Because the NFL, I mean, they don't even have the concept of fan groups going to Super Bowls. If your team's not in it, you don't go. You stay at home and watch. Here, I mean, when Cam Cole told me this a few weeks ago when I was doing research for this, and he said, oh, yeah, they come no matter what, I mean, I was stupefied. I mean, it's really that much of a community deal. So that's what I'm doing today. And because yesterday was American Thanksgiving and nobody was reading, and today, you know, not very many more will be reading because of the tryptophan paralysis, I can pretty much do whatever I want with that. So that's sort of what I'm aiming at. And then, you know, the spirit of Edmonton, I still have to go to church. So
yeah.
Did you
got to do that.
That's where you'll find there's the Baltimore thing's down to about three people. But that's if they are still alive, that is where you will find them.
Did you go to the Palomino Club?
I hear they're closing it.
No!
And Henry Burris was upset about it.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, they're either closing it or moving it. I've gotten two different versions of the story, and I'm not I'm not that keen on finding out one way or the other.
It's Crown Royal. It's Crown Royal Apple Night. Friday night, it's Crown Royal Apple Night. It's like been there for 30 years.
Well, some traditions must die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't know, because all I know is as soon as Henry Burris came off the podium at the field on, I want to say it was Tuesday, he asked, is it true the Palomino Club is closing? And someone said yes. And then someone else said, no, I think it might be moving. And he was crestfallen.
Yes.
So, you know, either way, the Palomino Club is going to undergo some sort of serious fundamental change that I will not be here to chronicle.
Well, stay safe, Ray.
Yes.
You know, don't get arrested. It's because that can happen in Winnipeg. It's happened to people near and dear to my heart.
I've got the police chief's phone number. I can email it.
Yeah,
to
Blair
you.
Can get you. He knows politicians there. He could probably get you sprung if it happens.
Yeah.
You sound like you guys have gotten to spend a night in the back of a cop car.
Well, Winnipeg does. Winnipeg has a very specific effect on some people, I would say.
Define night. Like, are we talking hours? Like, less than an hour, okay?
How about the 19 hours of the day when the sun is below the horizon?
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll just pass that one on to Brent.
But you guys haven't told me which of you did time here.
Time is probably overstating it, but it is a place where people have historically gotten in trouble.
Yes,
you know, especially in these kinds of situations. People in our fraternity
suggest to me that there's a great story that you should be sharing with the nation.
Well, there's a couple, but there's people still alive. You know, it's not like Shaky. I can say whatever I want about Shaky, but. It's a fun town, and it's a good. I'm glad that you were experiencing the Grey Cup on the prairies, where, you know, if you were here for a Grey Cup or in Vancouver, it would be a very different proposition. But you are at the absolute kind of Bethlehem of Canadian football, so that's a good place to be.
Well, in honesty, I probably couldn't have sold the idea or my boss selling it to me if it was anywhere but here or Regina. But, you know, CSN Bay Area has basically said, we're going to give you some money. You better turn something out, and it better be weird. I thought that it was much easier to find weird in Winnipeg and Saskatchewan than in the big cities.
525 Crown Royal Apple on special all night. Jukebox Heroes will be playing tonight at the Palomino Club.
Well, as soon as I get out of church, I'll head right over.
There you go. Oh, big thing, prediction. Who's going to win? Watch this.
My head, based on what people have told me, says Edmonton. My heart, and for the benefit of my story, says Red Blacks 1-0.
It's got to be 2. Well, 1-0 would work. Hopefully, they'll have a rouge for you.
If I get a rouge, I will write it, and then I will close my machine because I won't need to say anything else.
Yeah, I think a rouge is guaranteed. So
a rouge is guaranteed.
You enjoy that.
Take care, Ray. Say hi to everyone for us. Be safe.
I'll say hi to everyone for Brunt. Your name is still persona non grata from that thing with the goat.
It wasn't a goat. It was a baby bison.
That's not what the police report said.
Yes, it does. Bye-bye.
See you, Ray.
See you later.
It's Ray Ratto, CSN Bay Area.
Still Winnipeg alive will never be the same.
He is, by the way. We always say this when we have him on. He is like one of the truly funny people in our business.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah,
he's ended up, because of the way the World Series seating rotation went a couple of times, they ended up sitting next to Ratto. And it was great because Ratto, when he gets bored, will pull out this yellow notepaper and he will start designing front pages that he imagines in each city.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Front pages of how the baseball game will be reported with his own headline.
I got stuck on a bus when I'm coming back to... from Kiln, Mississippi, home of Brett Favre, back to New Orleans during the Super Bowl. We got stuck on a bridge, with Ray facing deadline, an approaching deadline in the middle of Lake Pontchartrain. Oh. And, yeah, it went from kind of amusing to insane very, very quickly. But he's one of the best. And Winnipeg, he's the right guy to be there chronicling this. I'm very glad he's there bringing this back to our neighbors to the south.
Still had one of the best lines I have ever read on a lead to a Super Bowl or to a World Series story, and I've used it. I have reused it. I've credited him several times. It's down to the stems and seeds for the San Francisco Giants when they were down 3-0 to Oakland. Let's see if Tim McAuliffe can match that. McAuliffe is in Quebec City for the, damn it, where did I put it? For the ArcelorMittal Vanier Cup presented by Pro Mutual Assurance at Stade Telus. Tim McAuliffe will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues with Stephen Brunt on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt. Paul Jones, our Raptors radio analyst, will join us at 11 o'clock. Raptors get a chance for some payback against the Washington Wizards this weekend. Mark Spector had the scoop on Sportsnet, has the scoop on Sportsnet. Connor McDavid back basically 6 weeks earlier than a lot of people expected, which is damn good news for the NHL and for hockey fans in general. Then at 11:35, Peter Drury, one of our Barclays Premier League play-by-play voice, joins us. As we all thought at the start of the year, the match between Leicester City and Manchester United this weekend, the biggest match on the docket.
Mm-hmm.
Peter has the call, and hopefully he'll attempt to allay some of my fears as a Man U fan.
Do you think anybody watching Tony Romo remangle his collarbone yesterday afternoon and thought, you know, maybe Connor McDavid shouldn't hurry back? Take your time, son.
And, you know, it's funny you mention that because, of course, now the reports are Carey Price is only going to be out for a week.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know, you know, the details of the medical condition. But, yeah, I was watching that and I was thinking to myself, you know, sometimes you do need to let the body heal.
Yeah.
Like, even though we've got all this great technology and, you know, all the great medicine and rehab and all this stuff. Sometimes, you know, George Poulos, a Jays trainer,
Michael Saunders.
We were talking about it, and wasn't that it was? You know what it was? It was a conversation about Batista's shoulder, and I was I wasn't interviewing him, but he said, sometimes you just have to rest and let the body do what it's got to do.
Yeah, well, the Carey Price one, you know, if he's been sore since last spring. And the summer didn't fix him.
Yeah.
And then he's, you know, now we're the second time he's been out and everybody's saying, don't worry, it'll only be a week. It's one where, you usually have to go to the athlete and say, look, sit down. They all do want to come back.
Yeah.
And they all want to be the guy who's weeks ahead in his recovery, the miracle guy, you know, and they work really hard and they do all kinds of stuff that normal people, you know, if you tweak your knee out jogging one day, you know, your recovery is going to be different than an athlete's in a lot of ways. But man, I was watching Romo get hit yesterday and saying, is that really worth it? Is that in the long-term interest? You know, the long shot at running the table and making the playoffs versus
making the playoffs and probably being squashed by somebody.
Yeah. You literally have to win every game the rest of the year to get there. And so in a game where they're getting their heads handed to them by Carolina, the guy gets hurt again, and now, you know, it's not like, I don't know what's career threatening, but it is one of those things where you wonder, wouldn't it have been better to just say, Tony, come back next year?
By the way, it might be time to start giving Carolina a little more love than people are giving them.
Yeah, defense is real good.
That's
tremendous. Real good. Yep, it's going to be fun. You know, that's, you know, two undefeated teams at this stage. It's a very, very interesting year.
Speaking of football, the Canadian college variety, we will have the 2015 ArcelorMittal Vanier Cup presented by Pro Mutual Assurance on Sportsnet this weekend on Saturday. Tim McAuliffe, who is host of Tim and Sid, will be the play-by-play voice for the Vanier Cup. Tim McAuliffe joins us from one of the truly great cities anywhere, Quebec City. How you doing, Tim?
Fellas, how are we?
We're doing well. How's Quebec City treating you?
Quebec City is treating me as is. Actually, you know what? It's mild in Quebec City. It's about 9 or 10 and rainy, which is surprising at this time of year. I was fully expecting, snow and toque weather for the bald dude, but surprisingly mild.
Yeah, as I recall, the last game we did there was a little chilly, Tim.
Yeah, I think that's why you're not here, right, Stephen?
That is exactly right. I did make that calculation. So I'm sure by tomorrow or by... by game time, by kickoff, it'll be well, we'll see. Maybe, you know, maybe you'll get a bit of a break tomorrow. But
it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, but it's one of those ones where, you know, like, it'll be 9 at kickoff, and then as soon as the sun dips, it'll be like minus 5.
Right.
So what's it like there? This, you know, the last time around, we were, the Rougeau or Laval were in the game, as they were, you know, every other year, almost every year for a long stretch. Incredibly dominant program. You know, everything about that town is about them. You know, that facility, and they are the, they're the franchise there in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
What's it like without them in the game?
It's really interesting because not only are they not in the game, but their hated rival from Montreal are playing in the game. And as you know, Stephen, because I think you did a piece on this, you know, this makes for an interesting dilemma for all Rougeau fans. And there are, like, for those in Toronto who don't understand it, Laval Rougeau in Quebec City is like a pro franchise. They're run like a pro franchise. They tailgated better than any pro franchise in this country. So they've got their hated rivals or to cheer for Quebec, which, as everyone knows, they have, you know, a great deal of pride in Quebec football across the province. And, you know, all the francophone names on Montreal will walk in and play a game against UBC, University of British Columbia. So I've asked a bunch of people who kind of would know, and they're all in the, they're on the same boat. They don't know. They don't know what the dilemma will be. Will they cheer for the hated rivals, or will they cheer for the province of Quebec?
You know, Tim, when I back when I was sports editor at the University of Manitoba student newspaper,
how long ago was that?
Manitoba, that was a long time ago. But UBC was kind of part of the furniture. They were a they had Frank Smith. They were a really real good program. You know, they had a, I mean, they were always in a recruiting war with Simon Fraser. Of course, Simon Fraser was playing U.S. football then. And boy, I mean, they were what? They were 2-6 last year. They beat the Rougeau in a playoff game, or I'm sorry, in a preseason game this year. Like, this is quite a turnaround to go from 2-6, beat the Rougeau in a preseason game, go 6-2, beat Calgary in the playoffs. How much of this is
money?
Is money? Because I've got to think, first of all, I got to think to get Blake Nill to UBC, and he didn't come cheaply. And now they've got Mike O'Connor, of course, the kid who was a quarterback at Penn State. And I'm not saying there'd be anything untoward there. But the fact of the matter is, this program has spent a lot of money. It's had boosters that have spent a lot of money to turn it around, hasn't it?
Yeah. And there's, you know, the coaches' meetings, a lot of it was about recruiting. A lot of it was about the haves and the have-nots. And UBC went from being, you know, kind of one of the also-rans to one that realized, if we want to compete, we're going to have to try and get money behind the program. And, yeah, you can say there's nothing, you know, untoward towards Michael O'Connor and his recruitment. And for those that don't know, Penn State, he played at IMG Academy under Chris Wenke, the former Heisman Trophy winner. Guys like Cam Newton, who we were just talking about as the quarterback of an undefeated team in the NFL, played at that school. So the kid comes legit. But the pitch to the kid in Canada isn't all about football. It's about, you know, the kid wants to get into commercial real estate. Here's our alumni who worked in commercial real estate. Here's the internships that we can get you. Here's all of the things that we can get you outside of football. And I think that, you know, at that level, is probably one of the first five or six in Canada to get to that level where it's a legit hard recruit and you're offering them things beyond the football field. And I think it's a real interesting spot that CIS football is in right now. And, you know, you guys know as well as I do that when you look at the United States system, when you look at the NCAA system, I don't know I think it's a cautionary tale. I don't think it's a, this is what you emulate. And the CIS is right on the verge of that, because we're producing, you know, basketball and football players unlike we have ever done before. And I think Canada's on that verge of, how do we compete with keeping them in Canada? And how do we compete with each other?
Yeah, although it's a weird one, Tim, because you don't have the revenue streams to support it, right? In terms of attendance or television,
you need the money man. Yeah,
and so it's private money, individuals, right. and you know, UBC is they transformed the program in a year. University of Guelph, you know, we saw what happened with that program. Huge amounts of private money. Carleton's had huge infusions of private money. you know, and the Quebec schools, obviously, University of Montreal and Laval-Rougeor, both right. privately funded, you know, training camps in the United States, all this kind of stuff. You know, absolute split between haves and have-nots, and I don't think you can win a Vanier Cup. I don't think you have any shot of winning a Vanier Cup if you're a have-not now.
Well, I think McMaster did. You know, I think McMaster was in the middle.
Yeah, I guess they would be, and I would say, you know, Western's a traditional power. McMaster right. had kind of risen to almost that level. So, yeah, right. but that's,
But when those schools jump in on the conversation, I think that's when it's important. And I think you're right. The one thing that happened here was Laval came in and made CIS football a money-making business. They were a revenue school, and that's why they got all the other things that you just mentioned. But I don't know how many other schools can do that.
Mm.
You know, how many schools, Montreal makes a profit, but they also have, you know, three pretty big donors, including the Molson family, right? So, you know, I don't know when or if CIS football becomes a revenue stream for schools, but when it does, and some of these schools have seen it, that's when we jump the shark. That's when we, you know, either go to the big time, like a lot of, you know, folks in Toronto and Vancouver want CIS football to be, or maybe never will accept CIS football as. But you guys are on to something that's kind of it's the tipping point right now.
Yeah. No, and look, I think it's amazing the caliber of play. You know, as somebody who's watched this game since I went to school, you know, and even before that, I love CIS football. But it's a different game now than it was, you know, and it's way better, you know, the talent level.
But you know, think back to when we were going to school in that, and it was nothing to see one of the Atlantic universities, especially a place like St. Mary's, be a power. The Atlantic schools they almost don't have a chance now.
Well, they're the ones that used to be able to offer the scholarships.
That's right.
Now, yes.
Every school can offer scholarships. So what was once the advantage of the Atlantic schools is now, you know, it's a level playing field for most.
Right.
And the way they give out scholarships is another way, Stephen, that, you know, this playing field is even. You have to show the money brought in by the school in fundraising to get your scholarship amount.
Yes.
So, you know, you need those donors just to get your scholarships. And I'm not sure that that's the right way to go about things. You know, I wonder if it's just a flat rate of scholarships for everybody. But that's a huge, you know, that's an economic and infrastructure conversation that's probably above my head. Not your guys' head, but my head.
Hey, Timmy, we just got 2 minutes left. Give me two keys for each team. Give me two keys for the Carabin and for the Thunderbirds.
Caravan is old school. Run the ball, stop the run. The run defense has been unbelievable. They just held a vaunted Guelph rushing attack to, you know, under 80 yards. They've done it to Laval and the traditionally great running school in Laval, held them in check. So run the ball with Chantal Asser-Lincoln, who is a running back who has been, you know, a revelation in the postseason. He has more rushing yards in the postseason than he had in the regular season. And for UBC, I think they need big plays. And they've got a bunch of great playmakers. It starts with Michael O'Connor, but they've got guys, you know, Terrell Davis is a guy, and fittingly a converted running back, Terrell Davis, but a Victoria kid who's now a linebacker, who transferred from Arizona State, who can make huge plays in the defense. His brother, Marcus Davis, is a game breaker as a receiver and a back. And a freshman kid from Toronto named Travell Pinto, who is also a game breaker. They've got all these young kids who either will buckle under the pressure or not realize what kind of pressure they're in. And if they make plays, they got a shot.
Timmy, we're going to let you run. Look forward to your work tomorrow. Enjoy the weekend in Quebec City and safe travels. And we'll see you when you get back.
Boys, always a pleasure.
Tim McAuliffe is host of Tim and Sid. He will be handling play-by-play responsibilities on our coverage of the 2015 Arcelor. God, I got it right until the last time. ArcelorMittal Vanier Cup presented by Pro Mutual Assurance.
And I say, you know, people who aren't CIS, give it a look. You know, CIS football will surprise you, you know, if you haven't watched it in a few years.
Yeah.
And it's fun, and B, it's the skill level's really good.
Yeah. It's, if you haven't seen it for a while, check it out because it is, as Brent says, it's a vastly, vastly different game and a much, much improved product. Paul Jones is our Raptors radio analyst on Sportsnet. The Raptors play the Washington Wizards and the Phoenix Suns this weekend. Paul Jones will join us when the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brent continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.